Our scripture reading on this festival of the Reformation is the final verse of St. Paul's letter to the congregation in Rome. And we read, "To God alone wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen." It is common for police departments to videotape their interviews with people that who have been arrested for drunkenness or drug abuse in order to be able to show them later on just how impaired their condition was. Quite frequently, people, while they're intoxicated or under the influence of drugs, the very intoxication or drug itself impairs their ability to actually evaluate how bad their condition is. The videotape helps supply that maybe hours or days later, especially showing them they have no hope in court. One of the devastating effects of sin in our lives spiritually is that sin itself impairs us from being able to actually evaluate realistically and truthfully how devastating sin's effects have been on us. And it is easy for us in our sinful fallen state and condition to kind of imagine ourselves to be in better spiritual shape before God by ourselves than we truly are. Sin has impaired our ability to realize just how devastating sin has been on us, on our minds and on our hearts and on our lives. And somehow we can still imagine ourselves, like a drunk individual thinks he's still sober enough to drive, we can still imagine ourselves as having some glory before God, some degree of glory at least. In Old Testament days, in ancient times, we remember hearing the story of the building of the Tower of Babel and how man at that time began to erect this huge building that was going to be a skyscraper up into the sky to show the glory and the prestige of man and what man could accomplish and so on. And spiritually in our own hearts, there's a temptation in all of us to build a tower of glory to ourselves before God. And this is why all non-Christian, non-biblical religions in the world begin with the false premise that there's something man can do or offer to God to make God happy with him, to someday get himself into God's favor. And it's why even inside of Christendom, which counters that teaching, even inside of Christendom, there are continually challenges to this teaching. And it's usually based on the concept, well, there has to be something man can offer. There has to be some little bit of glory that we have left that we can inject back into this process to say that we get some little credit, don't we, for why we're going to be in heaven someday? And it's even why believers in Christ are still tempted to go back to their own life of sanctification and works and imagine that somehow that's why God is so pleased with us. These are all our own little towers of Babel. About 11 years ago, during our Reformation lectures that we're also having this week, 11 years ago, Dr. Oliver Olson said this in one of his comments, and I liked it so much I wrote it down. "The feeling is basic in man that we object to the notion that God is entirely in charge of our salvation." In other words, of us getting to heaven. You see, we just can't let go of some element or degree of glory. But go back to the darkest moments of my life. Go back into the darkest shadows in the recesses of the record of my life. Ah, what glory. Go to the cemeteries in our town. Go to the coroner's office and pull open a long steel drawer and look at the blue body. Wow, what glory of man. Go pick out with your family someday a nice gravestone for yourself or a beautiful urn to put your ashes in. There is our little Tower of Babel. There is the glory of man. It is the nature of all true biblical reformations, based on divine revelation from God through His Word, to restore, first of all, a true picture of the devastation of the fall into sin upon man. In essence, to first of all strip us of our glory and to knock down our tower. And in so doing, through the gospel, through the message of Christ, to restore all glory once again to God alone. There's a phrase that often appears at the end of theological works, sola Deo gloria. It's a phrase that simply means to God alone be the glory. That is very similar to the words we see here in the final sentence of Paul's letter to the Romans, this marvelous epistle from God to his church, describing how all of us by ourselves are in the fallen state and have no hope before God. But God, through Christ, through his own Son, our incarnate Savior, God through him has come to atone for all of our sins and pay for them and to justify us now before a holy God, to declare everyone righteous for the sake of Christ, not because of anything we do. And justified by faith, we now have peace with God. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We can look forward to the hope of the glory of God. How fitting for this beautiful letter, this beautiful epistle that Luther himself cherished so highly. How fitting that in the final statement, Paul tacks on sola Deo gloria. To God alone be the glory. When the angels came to announce the birth of our Savior, it shouldn't surprise us that they sang that beautiful hymn, glory to God in the highest, not to man, glory to God in the highest, as his Son now comes for our salvation. What irony that some today, even inside of Christendom, want to give glory and adoration to Jesus' sinful mother when she herself, pregnant with him, said the beautiful words of the Magnificat, "My soul magnifies the Lord. Glory to God, not to me. And my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." Sola Deo gloria. All Christian theology, all true biblical theology, is summarized and provides answers in that simple little phrase at the end of Paul's letter. Think about it. Did God actually create me? Or did somehow this all happen by chance and by some explosion years ago and somehow different creatures that crawled out of a swamp? No. Sola Deo gloria. Is my getting to heaven dependent upon Christ alone, or is it something I have to do to add to that will help me get to heaven? No. Sola Deo gloria. Is the faith in my heart something I get credit for? Is it something I did to accept Jesus and give my life to him, which isn't the way the Bible talks about it? No. Sola Deo gloria. The glory goes to God. Is my baptism something I do to show God I love him? Or is it, as Scripture says, something God does for me to bring me into his grace and forgive my sins and connect me to my Lord and Savior? Sola Deo gloria. Is it the Word of God alone in the Lord's Supper that brings about the presence of my Savior's body and blood that he tells me to eat and drink? Or is it somehow my faith that makes this happen? No. Sola Deo gloria. Take that phrase to any theological question, and it will answer it biblically. This letter of Romans is Paul's beautiful epistle from God, of course, to us, the members of his church, and can be summed up in that little phrase so beautifully. Just as the work of Dr. Martin Luther and other reformers in his day was all about restoring sola Deo gloria. And the church of believers in this world, those of us who by God's grace alone cling to faith in Christ as our Savior, we have the right to look forward to the day when we will sing sola Deo gloria to him in the mansions above with the choir of the angels. As John records for us, the song we will sing someday, salvation and glory and power belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to his Lamb. And even now, as we look forward to that, as children of the Reformation, blessed with the knowledge of knowing how everything is due to the glory of God, even now may our lives and our confession be one long sola Deo Gloria. Amen.